Friends, we will discuss regarding the regulatory framework of retail banking under this chapter 8. And you know, the regulators are playing very important role in banking, particularly Reserve Bank of India. Other regulators are also there, but depending upon the type of transaction or type of business, these regulators came into light, and the regulations are applicable at that point of time. So in this chapter, our objective will be to discuss the entire regulatory ecosystem which governs the retail banking in India, and their roles and responsibility there, as well as understanding the significance of compliance, consumer protection, and risk governance. Finally, through analyze the regulatory developments in digital banking, payment, cybersecurity, and financial inclusion. This is most important as far as the retail banking is concerned. So, our presentation structure will focus on certain important points, such as role of major regulators in India in respect of retail banking, then laws framed by them, as well as their framework in digital banking, as well as the FinTech India, Consumer Protection Act, Fair Practice Retail Banking are also very important, because in retail banking there are multiple people or multiple individuals are involved in that. So the compliance governance and risk reporting is also forming the part of our discussion. You are aware that the regulatory framework for retail banking in India is designed to ensure financial stability, consumer protection, operational safety, etc. Right? So the structure is primarily laid by the major controller or major regulator is the Reserve Bank of India, and it is supported by SEBI, IRDAI, PFRDA, and various other law and acts which are passed in the parliament governing the banking, consumer right, insolvency, and digital financial services. Let us understand the role of major regulators in retail banking. Particularly, Reserve Bank of India is playing a very important and apex role in as a regulator in banking system, and others such as SEBI, IRDAI, etc. As I said, they are playing a subsidiary role, but their role is also important, and they oversee the financial product-based customer protection, payment system, and allied service offered by the banks. The regulatory environment always ensures the safety and stability, transparency, integrity, and consumer protection in retail banking sector. One by one, if we look into the roles played by them in respect of Reserve Bank of India, you can say it is an apex regulator. The entire banking is regulated by Reserve Bank of India, because it sets the rules, supervises operations, and ensures the safety and soundness of the retail banking system. The role played by the Reserve Bank of India consists of, one is a licensing, giving licenses to the bank and regulations of the banks. Then prudential regulations. Then monetary and credit policy formation. RBI issues the monetary policy as well as the credit policy. Then it protects the consumer interest. So consumer protection, regulation of digital payments, for that also they have framed regulations. Digital lending and fintech supervision, as well as supervision, entire supervision and inspection of the bank's branches. Second regulator is SEBI, that is Securities and Exchange Board of India, SEBI. So banks today are majorly distributors of the investment products. Hence, SEBI plays a very important role regarding the market-linked financial services, offered by the banks under retail banking. So SEBI's relevance to the retail banking consists of, one is regulation of mutual funds and distributed by the bank. Mutual funds are also, distribution happens through the bank's branch branches. Then investor protection and mis-selling of prevention. Regulations of demat and trading accounts operated by the banks. And next would be the investment advisory and portfolio management are certain regulations framed by SEBI for that purpose. So SEBI ensures that the banks act ethically while selling these investment products. Number three regulator is Insurance Regulatory Development Authority of India, IRDAI. The bank distributes the wide range of insurance products, bank assurance, under their arrangement under bank assurance. So, IRDA, its relevance to the retail banking consists of, number one, regulation of bank assurance channel. Approves, because IRDA approves a tie-up with the insurance companies. Then policyholder protection. It ensures the fair claim handling and grievances address. Three, certification of the training of the bank staff. Under this, the adherence to the IRDA's point of sale, that is POS and corporate agent rules. Now, Pension Fund Regulatory and Development Authority, PFRDA. PFRDA regulates retail pension product such as National Pension Scheme, which many bank distributes as a point of presence, POP. Its role is giving the license, setting the service standard, and monitor the charges as well as the bank has to follow the rules framed by the PFRDA when opening and servicing National Payment Scheme System account. Next regulatory authority is National Payment Corporation of India, NPCI. NPCI is not a statutory regulator. But plays a very crucial role in governing the India's digital payment ecosystem. Under this, NPCL operates UPI, RuPay, NACH, then AEPS, IMPS, as well as BBPS. It defines the transaction rule, interchange guidelines, and dispute redress mechanism. So work with RBI to ensure the security. NPCI is a foundational and retail payment innovation in India. Another regulator is Ministry of Finance. This Department of Financial Services, their primary responsibility of this department of the government consists of ownership and governance of the public sector banks, framing financial sector policies, supervising the financial inclusion scheme, oversees the reform and the banking laws, then financial intelligence unit. Next, when we hear financial intelligence unit, FIUIND, where it regulates anti-money laundering and CFT, that is compliance under PMLA. The responsibility of this is to collect the STRs, that is suspicious transaction report, collect CTR, that is cash transaction report, analyze financial crime, exchange information with the enforcement agencies. Next agency is Ministry of Electronics and IT. MEITY and the CERTIN. These are the critical for digital banking safety. And its responsibility consists of cyber security incident reporting, security guidelines for digital platform, oversight and fintech and cloud. Right? Next one will be Competition Commission of India. This ensures the fair competition among the banks, prevent anti-competitive practices and important during the mergers of the bank for payment delays. Next one will be consumer protection bodies. Consumer protection bodies addresses the grievances. These are the courts, consumer courts. They addresses the grievances related to the banking services, unfair practices and overcharging, etc. Next one will be, under this Consumer Protection Act, there will be a banking ombudsman as well as the RBI's integrated ombudsman scheme also falls. So, banking ombudsman provides free and quick resolution for failed transaction, mis-selling, wrong charges and deficiency in services. Now, these are the regulator and their functions we have seen. Now, there are certain laws which need to be looked into. First one is the Banking Regulation Act. Banking Regulation Act 1949. This is the primary legislation governing the banking operations in India, right? Then Reserve Bank of India Act in 1934. Under this act establishes the RBI and defines its statutory authority and it regulates the financial system. Then SARFAESI Act. SARFAESI Act is means it is securitization and reconstruction of financial assets and enforcement of the Security Interest Act 2002. This act strengthens the bank's ability to recover the secured loan without a lengthy court procedures. Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. This is also another act where unified framework is framed for the insolvency resolution of the corporate, individuals or personal guarantees, right? Personal guarantors. The Negotiable Instrument Act 1881, as you are all aware that this act governs the checks, promissory notes and bill of exchanges. Then PMLA Act 2002, that is Prevention of Money Laundering Act. This is a key act for KYC and AML, that is Know Your Customer and Anti-Money Laundering compliance in the banking. Information Technology Act 2000 is the legal backbone of digital banking, and Digital Personal Data Protection Act 2023 is a landmark law for the data privacy, which is highly relevant to the retail banking. Okay, that's it, please remember. And the Consumer Protection Act 2019 enables the customers to raise the complaint against the banks in consumer court. Now, other important law consists of Limitation Act 1963, where its relevance that it is a time limit for the recovery actions, that is Limitation Act. Then Payment and Settlement System Act 2007, which is the legal basis for UPI, NEFT and RTGS transactions. Credit Information Companies Act 2005 enables the CIBIL, Equifax and Experian bureaus, and SARFAESI rules 2002 details recovery procedures, and Indian Contract Act 1872, that is a loan agreement and a guarantee service contract. These are some of the other important laws. Now, regulatory framework for digital banking in fintech, digital banking and fintech in India. The RBI, as you are aware, the RBI is primary regulators of digital banking, and under digital banking, digital banking is supported by NPCI, CERTIN and MEITY, as well as the Digital Personal Data Protection Act. RBI regulates these digital banking activities. Then key areas regulated by RBI under digital banking consist of digital payments, that is UPI, NEFT, RTGS, etc. Digital lending, online credit platform, IT governance and cyber security, fraud prevention, digital KYC, customer onboarding, data privacy and sourcing rules, the payment aggregator as well as the prepaid instruments, that is PPI, wallet and fintechs are also regulated by RBI. So, digital lending guideline consists of basically one, regulated, it covers the lending guidelines and their key requirement is regulated entities. They should have a full responsibility. Then, no pass-through accounts and mandatory key fact statement. Data privacy consent. These are some of the lending norms, digital lending norms that has to be followed by. Then, algorithmic transparency. first clause default guarantee. This is another rule. And the Payment and Settlement System Act, that is PSS Act 2007, this act empowers RBI to regulate all the payment system in India. Right? Now, payment aggregator. Payment aggregator, who is a payment aggregator and payment gateway regulators? This is mandated by Reserve Bank of India while giving the licensing for payment aggregator, that is PA, and it operates the guideline, the operational guidelines issued for payment gateway. So payment aggregators have their payment gateways, license is issued by RBI, and they also issued the guidelines for that same. So IT governance and cyber security regulations, as well as digital KYC and customer onboarding regulations, are also playing very important part in this. Data protection and privacy regulation consist of this particularly is significantly impacting on digital banking for the digital personal data protection. And outsourcing of the fintech partnership rule, as well as NPCI framework for the digital payments, NPCI governs the operational guidelines. Consumer protection regulations for digital banking. This consumer protection, what it includes, consumer protection regulations, it includes the RBI's ombudsman scheme, which is integrated ombudsman scheme. Then digital fraud grievances norm, then ATM, UPI, NEFT compensation rule, fair practice mandate for the non-coercive collection practices, and these safeguards the customer right in fast-growing digital ecosystem. Now, some of the key compliance requirement for the digital banking consist of strong customer authentication, that is two-way authentication, biometric, then secure the API for the fintech integration, real-time fraud monitoring, compliance with the UPI and PCI rule, data localization requirement, and periodic IT and cybersecurity audit, transparency in digital product terms. Consumer protection and fair practices in retail banking consist of principles banking. Principles of consumer banking, retail banking consist of fair treatment, transparency, and responsible lending. Data privacy, security, secure digital transactions, and easy and effective grievances redress mechanism, timely resolution, and non-coercive recovery practices. RBI Fair Practice Code consists of transparency in lending, non-coercive recovery practice, right to prepayment, and foreclosure, clear loan documentation, and grievances redressal. RBI's Integrated Ombudsman Scheme, which was referred earlier, that is Ombudsman Scheme 2021. This Ombudsman Scheme is a free and fast mechanism for resolving the customer's complaints. So, and the features consist of, it is a single integrated platform for all the complaints, banks, NBFC, and payment operations. And the complainant categories include ATM, UPI failure or wrong charges, loan disbursement delays, incorrect credit reporting, failed transaction, and mis-selling. 30 days maximum resolution period is provided by the bank before the escalation to the ombudsman. So, appeals allowed if customer is unsatisfied. The grounds for complaint consist of failure of digital transactions, excessive charges charged by the bank, mis-selling of insurance or mutual fund or non-adherence to the KYC guidelines, any unfair recovery practices, checks, clearing, etc. Now, grievances redressal mechanism is consisting of, first one is internal complaint redressal system of the bank. Okay, here the branch level officers, nodal officers, and head office of escalation desk is involved. That is the first level, and that too at the bank level where actually aggrieved customer is banking with. Then RBI Ombudsman Scheme, where the free and binding dispute resolution is taking place. Consumer Court Act As per the Consumer Protection Act 2019, consumer courts are established, which covers the unfair trade practices, delays and the services deficiency. Sectoral grievances mechanism consists of the IRDAI, SEBI and PFRDA. Now, fair recovery practices consist of bank must follow the RBI's recovery agent guidelines, no harassment to the threatening behavior, recovery calls as well as audio recording of the calls, proper training for recovery staff and failure to comply may result into regulatory action. Then compliance governance and the risk reporting requirement. After seeing the rules, regulation, regulators and their functions, their activities. Now we have to see what is the compliance, governance and risk reporting requirement. Compliance and governance framework aim to ensure the adherence to RBI regulations, law and guidelines, prevent fraud, safeguard customers' interest and maintain the financial stability as well as ensuring the ethical conduct of the staff and management. It also promotes the transparent risk reporting as well as prevent the penalties and reputational damage and operational disruptions. Compliance structure in retail bank consists of most retail banks, they follow the three-tier compliance structure. One is a board of director, second one is a senior management and third one is a compliance department, that is independent function. The governance structure in retail bank consists of risk management committee, audit committee for the board, then IT strategic committee and asset liability committee, that is ALCO and customer service committee. These, for the better governance, these committees are built around the aligned with the RBI supervisory expectation. Then regulatory compliance requirement of RBI guidelines consist of retail bank must comply with the numerous regulations, and it may consist of the lending, payment, cyber security or governance. The requirements of the regulatory compliance consist of one, KYC AML compliance, that is as per PML Act, then digital lending compliance, then cyber security and IT governance compliance, outsourcing regulation, prudential regulations and consumer protection and fair practices. With this, we conclude our discussion on the regulatory aspects of retail banking. Thank you very much.